Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear a potentially groundbreaking abortion case, probably this fall, and the news is energizing activists on both sides of the contentious issue. From the AP this morning, they're already girding to make abortion access a high-profile issue in the next year's midterm elections. The case on hand is a Mississippi law that would ban abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. If upheld by the Supreme Court, it would mark a first step toward the possible demise of the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. Of course, that ruling establishing a nationwide right to abortion at any point before a fetus can survive outside the womb. Your thoughts this morning?
David, this is just awful. We saw it coming, of course, with a 6-3 conservative majority. And I hate to use the word conservative because it is a false way of looking at this. It is not conservative or liberal. It involves a woman's right to be in charge of her own body. And a bunch of men making the decision that this is bad news. And we are in a situation now which we're going to have to fight back from. That Trumpian majority on the Supreme Court has just left many of us in a terrible place. But now we just say, all right, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, and if they're going to do terrible things, then I think we have to do what's right, and what's right is to expand the court. Or, in some way, to let them know that they cannot ride roughshod over the American people, their sisters, their daughters, their mothers, their rights. It is something that needs to be thought about really carefully. If they're going to use the Supreme Court as a place to shove unwanted ideas and concepts onto the American people, then I think we really do have to do something. And, you know, short of what Trump tried to pull, which is an armed insurrection on January 6th, what has to happen here is we have to think within the law what's possible, because that's what he would do, that's for sure. And the only way to deal with this is to say to the Supreme Court of the United States, you are not a dictator, and we are going to fight this like the very hell which you are causing.
How about the fact, Alan, that many liberals want Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, who's 82, to retire? They say Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg made a terrible miscalculation in deciding in her 80s and after bouts with cancer not to retire under President Barack Obama. She died in September, allowing President Trump to name her successor and shift the Supreme Court to the right. Now some liberals are urging Stephen Breyer to step down. Many law professors, including one from Loyola University, Chicago School of Law, Christine Chabot, said, as justices don't like to be pressured politically, and they generally don't like law professors telling them what to do.
Well, that may well be. Nevertheless, if Breyer steps down, there's always a risk, David, and that risk is that they will do what they did with President Obama and his Supreme Court pick. You know, nothing comes for free, that's for sure. My hope is, of course, that he does it. But if he's going to do it, he does it with enough time so that the Mitch McConnells can't do what they did in the last Obama pick. It needs to be handled in such a way that we are all thinking.
Quote from CNN this morning, Alan, this is a huge step for law enforcement. Police unions shift stance on protecting bad officers. In response to the police murder of George Floyd, 15 unions that represent law enforcement officers across the U.S. have endorsed a blueprint for policing that includes an unprecedented shift in the way unions protect bad police officers. Floyd's death last May brought renewed attention to the idea of active bystanders, a relatively new concept in law enforcement which calls for officers to intervene when they see wrongdoing. What do you make of this step?
Well, it's a good thing, obviously. And look, it's not happening in a vacuum. Obviously, they know full well they are going to be held accountable, and they would rather it be done on their terms than on making major shifts and major changes which would deplete the ranks of all officers or bring everybody under a microscope. That is what's happening. The unions are smart to do it, and if they continue to do it, they will probably have their way because, David, I think there are very few people in this society who want to see police disappear. We need the police. There are some pretty bad people out there. We need to make sure that everybody is treated equally, that there isn't the kind of prejudice which we know exists. So if you don't do it this way, with the unions making apt suggestions, you are going to end up in a real mess. And so I think it's important to have police, but I think they have to be here under the right conditions. And I think the unions are smart enough to say, uh-oh, this is not good.
Governor Andrew Cuomo's book, Alan, we've learned more about. He received a $3.1 million advance to write his COVID-19 leadership book last year, and he'll make another $2 million on the memoir over the next 2 years, a total of $5.1 million. Now, the governor donated a third of that, $500,000, to the United Way of New York State for its statewide COVID relief and vaccination efforts, and placed the remainder in a trust for his three daughters. The issue of this book has been quite a kerfuffle, not only because of the amount of money, but then because of the allegations of staff being used to write the book.
Yep, look, it's a lot of money. I asked them about it a long time ago, and he fooled around with the answer. He laughed a little bit and the rest of it. But first we thought it was four. Now we think it's $5 million and more. Now remember that when this contract was signed, he was riding the waves, as we used to say on Fire Island. Then things changed. But the bidding on the book clearly was related to the idea that he was America's national hero at the time. So you can't say he should or shouldn't get that money. That's the American way. What you can say, of course, is, how did you do it? Now, I doubt very much that that's going to bring him down, because an awful lot of people in government and other places have done what he's done. They've written books, they've come out with things, and I'm not going to defend it. But I am going to say that's the way it is in the United States. But then the question is, was he using his governmental staff to help him do what he needed to get done? And that I don't know. I can only say it's a possibility. And if it is, it's worthy of investigation. But I doubt that we're going to see this as the thing that really brings Cuomo down.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.